It is that time again. Late lockdown number 11. We are here today. And this week we're doing The Five Bloods by Spike Lee. But before I go so fast and so far into this recording, with me is my sensitive co-host herself, Miss Tifflebot. What is happening, Tiff?
Not much. Feeling good and I'm excited to talk today.
Right, man. You know, we were going to do a different movie. We were going to, you know, do something sci-fi-ish, you know, like we did with, you know, we did Jaws on the main show. But I had been hearing all this buzz about The Five Bloods, and I was like, huh, well, let's see what it is. Tiff, I had no idea what this movie was about. I only knew that Spike Lee was a director. But I was like, huh, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the project is going to be black when Spike Lee's a director, because he's done, you know, non-black movies.
I thought it was going to be about gangs.
Colors. The blood.
Is that not a gang of blood?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely it is. But I did at least see the movie poster. And I saw the...
I didn't see that.
I saw the old fellas.
Completely blind into it.
Well, there you go. Well, that would make sense. I saw the five fellas, you know, sitting there, you know, pumping their fists. And I was like, okay. Well, I had no idea what the movie was about. So... let me grab my spectacles because I'm an old man, y'all. Y'all know that. The Five Bloods, 2020, rated R, 2 hours, 34 minutes. Starring Delroy Lindo, Jonathan Majors, Clark Peters, Norm Lewis, Isaiah Wilcox Jr., Melanie Therry, Paul Walter Hauser, Jasper... I don't know how the hell you pronounce his name, Tiff. He has so many accents on it.
It's a lot of vowels. It's
I know hard what the hell
American to say.
I know. Sandy Pam. Hey, John Reno was in this. John Reno was in this, and Chadwick Boseman. So, you know, I was like, wow, this is something else. So, you know, I watched the trailer on Netflix and was like, this is something. Let's check this out. So, before we go too deep into this thing. Let's hit one word, Tiff. What you got?
Upsetting.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just some of the stuff that happens in the movie is upsetting to me.
Okay. I'm gonna say complicated, doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. But it was the situation. Let me put it that way. Situation very complicated, and so. It had my interest through the whole thing because of the complications that the characters have, you know, had to go through and the complications that the movie tried to achieve, which was, you know, fine by me, you know. So let's hit them spoilers and get that out of the way and let's get into it. So, you know, this movie, man, it's very interesting, Tiff. I want to say first off that it has some flashbacks in it. And... The flashbacks blew me away because I didn't understand them at first because they actually use these older actors playing their younger selves and not with no makeup or anything. They were just in younger suits. And I was like, what's happening at first? How did that grab you?
Yeah, at first I was confused as well. But then I thought, it's kind of cool because this is like as a memory kind of thing, but they're seeing their friend who died is obviously not aged. And so it's kind of like bringing us closer to that whole idea that like he has stayed in like this in time in their memory.
Yes. And I guess, you know, you don't have an avatar for yourself. When you're digging up.
No, you just remember.
It was an interesting choice. And at first it was bothering me, but then quickly I got over it. And I was cool. What about you?
Yeah, no, it didn't bother me.
Now, here's something that's funny, man. So these old fellas was playing their old selves back in the day, right? And Chadwick Boseman was playing his self as a young man. But people, I just want to remind you, Chadwick Boseman is not young. Chadwick Boseman is damn near my age, okay? And I was watching it, and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, Chadwick Boseman looks young, black don't crack, big time. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, he's like 45 years old sitting there. And I was like, but he doesn't look like it. But it was just ironic. So let's hit it from the beginning. So what do we got going on here, Tiff?
So there was a group of soldiers during the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And so five black men, and they're on their way back. They're going back and meeting in Vietnam. And we don't know what they're doing there at first, but I think they kind of imply that they're there to get their friend's remains.
Right. Now, one thing I read about this before I watched the movie, because I did read something, you know, and it wasn't like I was researching it. It was just like things were coming up that made me intrigued with the movie, was that Delroy Lindo, arguably the main character, had to be talked into taking his role, because he wanted nothing to do with the role because he just couldn't wrap his mind around, you know, African-American male war veteran Trump supporter. And right. He really had to, like, say, you know, this is a role. But don't fret not, Tiff. I know some African-American Trump supporting men, some who even listen to this show, and it baffles the mind. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm no judgment here. undercover judgment. But
undercover judgment.
So it took him a minute to get his mind wrapped around his character. But then when he decided to do it, he went all in with it. And boy, oh boy, did he not go all in. So they're in Vietnam, which for me would be surreal as a former soldier from such a different place. And it's a different Vietnam. It kind of reminds you of the Watchmen now, the Vietnam the Watchmen, you know. And it's a city. It's a bustling city. It's a bustling economy. And they all come in and loud and just brother-fied to the max. You know, these cats is like straight out of a Black Panther 60s movie coming in, slapping five and stuff like that. So, but it was cool. I dug it. What about you?
Yeah, I love buddy stuff. And they're closer than buddies because they've served and had this shared horrific experience. So it's really fun to see like all their different personalities and like the way that they are when they show up and they see each other. He does a really good job of like showing in the first, even I would say 5 minutes, oh, that guy's like this. This guy's like this.
Oh, that's, you know what I mean? That's a good observation. I agree with you 100%. I haven't seen it in too many movies where the director was able to establish 100% concrete character parameters right from the beginning. I mean, we meet the used car salesman who's supposed to be the rich guy. He tries to pay for everybody. I love how they joke about his pigeon toes, which are ridiculous.
Yes, I was wondering. I forgot they said that about him. And then later I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, he was super duper.
They call him pigeon toed.
Right. So they had the rich friend. They had the moral compass that was there. They had the I don't give a F whatever is a person there. And then they had the Trump supporting, you know, soldier for life. But they were surprised that he was a Trump supporter because he walked in with his Make America Great hat again. And, you know, and I thought it was funny because, honestly, Tiff, this was real. I mean, at my age, at a younger age, we would destroy the brother walking around with the Make America Great hat again. So it was very true and very honest with the characters. And I found honesty in every single character that I was seeing there.
I did want to touch on the fact that we see them go out on the town a little bit before they meet their guide. And there's a scene of them, which is a really cool shot, where they're dancing through
Soul Train
a bunch of people. And it's kind of like a weird train shot where like you can they're kind of moving, but no one else is moving. But I did want to say that the guy on the end, the Make America Great Again guy, I think, he did a dance that I do.
He had some Caucasian in him right there.
Well, if I will take a video of myself doing this dance and we could put it on YouTube, because I do it a lot. It's just an arm movement, but I thought it was pretty funny.
So that was a really
I dance like that.
I think that's the point, you know, with his political views. So it's a very good scene where but it's kind of funny because they're like doing this Soul Train line thing, and you know, everybody, then you look around the club and you're like, everybody's 26. These guys are like 60s, you know, damn near 70, but they're having a good time, and I dig it. They come in, and then you know, the guy comes in and they're explaining their similarities and differences about, you know, who they served back in the day, how did they get here, and then they have the former Viet Cong at the table to buy some drinks as fellow soldiers, not as enemies. And everybody got it except for Paul, you know, played by Delroy Lindo. Paul was just mad at the goddamn world, you know, and just didn't want to accept it. But I love Otis, played by Clark Peters, you know, who's like, lift your damn glass. Quit being a butthole, you know. And I was like, that's a group, right? That's how it goes, right? You know, you just got somebody, right. got a mother or grandpa of the group, you know, with ladies, it's always a mother of the group. With the fellas, it's always a grandpa. Believe it or not, Tiff, I'm the grandpa of the group. Believe it or not, trust me.
Believe it or not, I believe it.
Yeah, yeah. right. What am I saying? I'm always like, come on, man. So if I'm anybody in this group, I'm Otis. So they have this quest, Tiff. They're going to go, you know, get the body of the guy, for their leader from back in the day. And I'm like, okay. But then quickly we find out through a flashback, which was super sweet, where they were coming down on, you know, this crashed CIA plane. Everybody was dead. And as they approached, the Viet Cong army started riddling the helicopter with bullets. It was very intense, very intense. Mm-hmm. And yes, the helicopter is shot down. They survived because they weren't that high, and they get off. And I wasn't expecting this. The group beat ass, Tiff. I mean, whoo! I wasn't expecting that because they didn't really have the tactical advantage. The Viet Cong had the high ground. You know, they were shooting guys when they were in a helicopter spinning around. So I was like, these guys are really, really good. Now, I want you to put this in perspective. While all this stuff is going on, woven in between the film, Spike Lee decides to give history lessons of the times. And he kept showing the protests and Dr. King and people protesting the fact that in droves, black men were being sent to this army, I mean, to this war, which was, you know, everybody knows was a meat grinder. You know, the survival rate for anyone was so low, it was ridiculous. But, you know, if you went to college, you didn't get drafted. If you, you know, basically, if you had money, you didn't get drafted. And if you had money, if you didn't have money, your ass was going to the war. And so there were many, 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 many African-American soldiers that were soldiers unwillingly and had no desire to be a soldier. I mean, one of the clips was Muhammad Ali, my idol, you know, saying, you know, with the famous speech, what them Viet Cong do to me? They ain't never called me the N-word. They ain't never oppressed me. Why would I go over there? And I was like, you know, everybody, you know, black men, that's, you know, that's a mantra. It's like, wow, exactly. And so this is going on in between the action and things that happen. They get down there, they wreck shop, they take the heel, Tiff. I mean, how's this making you feel?
Yeah, so there's a lot. It's the disparity in this movie between like the action stuff and then like there's some very, I wouldn't say mellow moments because there's a lot of happy in the film, but like the quiet moments that they are experiencing as older gentlemen kind of reflecting back is really interesting. So I do find this, there are some really good action scenes in this movie. But part of what I mean earlier when I said that this is upsetting is because there is a lot of stuff.
Ooh, it was like almost like
showing like the injustices. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No. I'm interrupting you. Like, the injustice is one thing, but I just want to take note that this was almost damn near a Quentin Tarantino movie with some of this action scenes.
Some of the stuff, there's a one particular thing that happens later that I nearly shit my pants.
Oh, you're talking about the actual footage. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I actually seen that shit before, so, you know, it wasn't a surprise to me, but I was surprised that they showed the whole scene in its entirety, you know, because you only ever see stills of these horrific moments in the Vietnam War where civilians are being murdered. And, you know, Spike Lee decided to use the real stuff, man. And it shook the shit out of you. I mean, if you weren't prepared, you know, that's for sure.
Yep. So it's just a lot. So there's this scene, and then this is where we kind of found out that there's more going on than just the recovery of a friend.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm thinking I'm watching the movie Three Kings. Have you ever seen that movie with Marky Mark and Ice Cube? And Oh yeah, it's a movie in the '90s. It's a movie in the '90s where there was supposed to be Saddam Hussein's gold was that these three soldiers found. Marky Mark was one, and Ice Cube was the other one. I can't remember the third actor. And they were gonna steal this gold underneath the U.S. government's neck. But in the course of doing the whole thing, everything goes wrong, of course, and they end up finding I think the Sunni Muslims and. Gave them all a bar to smuggle out. You know, it ended up going bad. There was no transport, so all these people got out with a bar of gold. But so it reminded me of that. I was like, a bar is a gold. I've seen this movie before, but it wasn't. It wasn't the same. So yeah, they find this chest of gold belonging to the U.S. Army, and instead of turning it in, they say, "Look, this is our time. We're getting used and abused and served like hell over in this war. Our people are dying. They're getting reports." That the Black Panthers are being massacred in America, and they like, let's do this for the cause, and we can take this gold back and give it to the people and have power to the people. So they all agree. So they say they're gonna bury it and they're gonna come back and get it after the war. Cool. So there we go. That's where we are. So flashback to the past. Our five heroes, four heroes, because the Chadwick Boseman character is no longer with us. We all have a night before we go out on this trek to find this in the woods in the jungle. And these cats is old, Tiff. I was looking at this like, y'all crazy. Y'all barely made it as kids. Now y'all about to go out there as adults. And so we get introduced to another a newer character played by Jonathan Majors. And that's
yes.
Paul's son. And Paul is crazy. He is nuts. He is PTSD. He got problems. And his son is kind of taking care of him. But quickly, we see really fast that Paul almost hates him. And that messed me up. I mean, what about you? Where were you at this?
I kind of thought, oh, something must have happened, like, between them. And we'll find out. And we kind of find out what is, but it's not... It's still not what you guys think.
It was still rough, too. You know, even with that,
it was hard.
Yeah, you don't have this, but he don't have this, you know. So we introduce David, and David quickly finds out what they're up to, and he wants in on the share. And so
David is very handsome.
Oh, you think so?
He kind of had out to David.
I thought his schnauzer was kind of big there. He did have his shirt off a lot, Tiff. And so we got David, he's joining the crew, and Otis goes and sees his ex-flame, a native lady, and his love of his life before. But he had a family.
Tien is the girlfriend.
Okay. And she's gorgeous, Tiff. You know, I'm like, wow.
Yes, she's very beautiful.
Really look good. So he's in there talking to her, and she's going to help him hash his plan, because you can't just walk out, you know, through the metal detectors with a bunch of gold. And so they're going to, you know, try to bypass customs with her contacts. While he's visiting, it broke my heart to see the beautiful young lady, his daughter, Michonne?
Yes.
She comes in, and she's obviously Vietnamese and black. And we knew that was a lot of that going on there. And she walks away, and the girl didn't react. And I thought immediately she would be like, oh, daddy?
Yeah.
But, you know, the mom tells her, you know, the white soldiers taught them what the N-word was, and it was worse of the worst, and she couldn't even get a job, you know, cleaning toilets, which is true, which is just shows the racism, you know, no matter what. And so, so they go meet our guy, what's his name, played by Jean Reno. I can't even pronounce his name. He was the broker for customs, you know, the professional.
Oh, the French guy.
Yeah, let's call him the French guy because I can't pronounce his name. And our boy Paul immediately thinks he's a scumbag and think that the Vietnamese girlfriend is, they're all in it together to shaft them out of the money because they want a huge percentage. I think like 21% or something like that. So Paul goes in on them, Tiff. I was like, God damn, Paul went deep. You know, he called them all kind of names, mother F, mother this. And, you know, the deal was about to fall through, but they, you know, had to mantra that they have to trust each other, and decided to trust each other, and both of them were living with a deal that they were both uncomfortable with, which is actually good negotiation, because I used to be a negotiator, and my philosophy was, if they're unhappy and you're unhappy, it's a good deal. I mean, it's just the way it is. So they had a boat, they had the guide, and they're all set off. But before everybody rolled out, David wants his share, and he pretty much blackmailed the fellas into agreeing, but they say that his daddy and David have to share the same share. And
okay, I have a question. Wasn't it $2 billion?
Was it that?
It was a lot of money. I thought it was a lot, but I never really got how much exactly it was total.
Okay, I could be wrong, but I thought it was like $42 million is what I thought.
Okay, that could be right. I just might have missed it.
Yeah, and so, you know, they were splitting it, you know, they had to give 20% to the broker, and then they had to split the rest of it each, and then so they said, if David's coming aboard because you were sloppy, you know, he gets your share. And I thought that was fair, you know. Boom.
Yeah.
So they get on a boat, Tiff.
Yes. And this is, okay, so they're on the boat. And then this is very common in a lot of, like, water, like, if there's a waterway in a country, there's merchants on it. They're selling things directly from their boats to other boats.
Right.
So you're like, oh, you can get breakfast while you're on your boat.
It seems so nice, Tiff. It was like a great vacation. Go ahead.
But, like, so... Paul gets offered a chicken by this guy.
The guy was tripping.
Honestly, this made me so sad.
The guy was tripping too.
I mean, I know that. So the guy was like, have a chicken. And Paul's like, no, I don't want your chicken. And so he tells, he asks Vin, their guide, to come over and tell him, I don't want the chicken. And then the guy says, I haven't sold a chicken all day. It just made me really sad. I know that that's, like, not the point of this scene,
because the guy should have effing chilled. It was bad. He told him a billion times.
Yes, he was like, chicken, and trying to give him the chicken.
Tiff, he could not told him any other way that he didn't want that damn chicken. And then next thing, though, he calling them racial epithets and all kind of stuff. And I'm like, whoa, dude. And immediately the guy was like, you killed my mother. You killed my father. And I'm like, oh, y'all about to get lynched. You better get out of here. I was like, you in the wrong place. What the hell?
It devolves very quickly.
You bad, 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 bad. But you know what I thought was interesting? How comfortable David was with the rest of the guys, especially Otis. You know, David fit right in so quickly. He was hanging out with the old fellas.
Well, Otis is his godfather, right?
Is that what it was? I didn't know that. I was like...
Yeah, Otis is his godfather.
Okay, because I was like, damn, David is like, he real comfortable. You know, I mean, they had good scenes with him trying to get those expensive LeBron James shoes, I think, that were hanging up on the line and stuff.
When I saw those shoes, before that even happened, I was like, he's got to get those shoes.
Oh, he tried his best to get those shoes. But there was, like, nice magical moments like that, you know, that was cool. Now, what I really thought was interesting is, why was Eddie, who was he wasn't used cars. He owned car dealerships. Why was he recording everything with an 8mm camera?
I think he was just like a classic photographer guy.
I was like, dude,
that was just his hobby. It was just a way to differentiate him.
Your iPhone,
like, you know, it's just those little pieces.
I guess, but I'm like, your iPhone would give you beautiful footage. You know, what are you doing? So, right, he's recording this whole thing, and so they get to the spot, Tiff, and they're like, okay, they don't want a guy. They're gonna go, and we're gonna meet you in 3 days. And Tiff, I like the guy, Tiff. Mm-hmm. I really
like
the guy.
I did too. And I was like, just take him. But I understand, like, what they're trying to do. But I was like, okay. And regardless of what happens, I was like, that's scary because, like, no matter how, lots of people who are, like, really good at wilderness stuff get lost and killed all the time.
Right. Well, you know, I guess they have an advantage because they survived 3 years of living in the jungle.
Right.
And not on top of that, they had technology, they had the GPS. And not on top of that, I really like the line when Yen says, you know, I will be there early. I will wait for you. I will be there late. I will wait for you. I said, God damn, this is a good guy. This is a good guy, man.
He's a really good guy. We did forget to kind of touch base before they go off into the jungle. They do go to a bar, and in this bar, David meets a French girl, and I want to say a Swedish guy and an American guy. They're part of a nonprofit called LAM that seeks and destroys undetonated landmines.
Heavy foreshadowing. I was like, oh shit. Yes. You know, and plus I know history, so I'm sitting there like, y'all about to walk through a jungle full of landmines that were never detonated. You know, they're all over the place. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the girl likes him. David is having a good time. I like the speech he was giving, but then, like, I forgot his name. Melvin starts acting a fool. They all have their own forms of post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know what I'm saying? That shows up. Otis couldn't hold his liquor and immediately showed up. And he started, like, screaming the plan. And I'm like, wow, what the hell? So David doesn't get the booty tiff. And the one guy who I thought was he looks just like Sean Bean. Michael Bean, I mean. I thought it was Michael Bean for a minute, you know, from Aliens. But it wasn't. This guy was younger. And, you know, he divulges later he was jealous. But they leave and they get moving again. And so, you know, they're doing this trek, and these cats, I'm looking at these old dudes like, man, this would be out there like my dad. Shout out to my pop, who like 74 years old. But they would be out there being, you know, in the middle of the jungle. It's not the ideal crew you would want out there in the jungle. So they're looking for this stuff and Tiff through happenstance, from David. They end up finding this stuff because he was out there trying to dig a hole to take a dump. And
when that happened, I was like, I thought, okay, something's going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was like, something's going to happen when he goes to take a poop.
Oh, Tiff.
Because I thought was like, why are they showing me this?
I thought it was hitting a landmine when he was digging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was waiting for David to blow up the whole movie, you know. I'm just like, oh, this is it. Because you would see him wandering off. So he finds the gold. He calls them. And this is a great scene. The fellas rush down, and they keep finding bars of gold. They find the case that it was in. It's empty, but then with the metal detector, they find in bars of gold, and it was just triumphant. I dug this scene so much. I was like, this is nice.
Yes. So the case had rotted away, and then all the gold had, like, shifted down the hill and been buried, like, naturally over time. There's a lot I didn't know about gold. I mean, I did know it, but, like, not at the same time. So I didn't realize, like, how heavy it is.
Oh, shit. A bar of gold is heavy as hell, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's,
yeah.
You can't carry bars of gold. You know what I'm saying? So they got these backpacks. They collect all the gold. They're triumphant. They're having a great time. And then, you know, after they collect all the gold, they're all talking about how rich they are and what they're going to do with their money. And then old, what's his name, you know, Eddie starts saying, wait a minute. Everything was for Storm and Norman. This whole quest was for Storm and Norman, played by, what's his name?
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman, right. And, you know, he's like, we're supposed to deliver this to the people, you know, power to the people. We're supposed to, you know, make the world a better place with this. And, you know, they were like, you know, F that. I'm going to do this. I'm gonna get rich. And you rich and get out of our face. And that I think that's what Paul had said to him. And he was like, I'm not rich. And he divulged to the group that he was actually poor. And I was like, wow. You know, that was a deep part to me. But then, like, he starts taking the steps back, Tiff.
And I knew as soon as he was doing this, something bad was going
to
happen.
Me too. I was like, not a good job at concealing your what's about to happen, Spike. But Kaflooey, he goes up Quentin Tarantino so style. Gross. It was Quentin Tarantino all the way. I was like, whoa.
Making my elbows tingle just now thinking about back to you guys. He explodes, and it's insane. He survives the explosion, I mean, temporarily, like long enough to realize what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awful to watch.
It's bad. It's bad, and he survives for you know, for how much time it takes for his heart to pump out all the blood out of his body, and it's bad. And you know, one of the brothers is gone, man. You know, and it was rough. So at this point, you know, it's all downhill from this point. And I failed to mention that they showed some Native soldiers stalking them earlier than that. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, well, you know, these efforts are going to come, you know, back looking for something. And I don't get it. But, you know, the situation gets intense with the brothers, Tiff. You know, Paul is such a damn fool.
So I would say that at this point, I kind of think that the explosion really triggers
Paul.
A deep post-traumatic stress disorder response in Paul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would agree with you.
Because he goes really off the deep. So his son also steps on a landmine, but it does not detonate. So coincidentally, the three people from LAM, the landmine extraction unit, show up there. And they managed to get him off of the landmine without it killing him.
Sweet or hurting scene. Him. Sweet, intense scene. Because I just knew David's ass was toast. I was like, oh, David's toast.
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
But pretty good idea, though. Something they used back in the war, you know, with the rope and yanking them off. And, you know, pretty good, pretty good. And Paul and David have a renewed love for each other at this point. You're like, everything is going to be okay, Tiff. Everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, reunited. Mm-hmm. So you kind of think, oh, this is like a turning point in the movie. This is the denouement that we are looking for. But Paul is in deep. He's in trouble.
Tiff.
Just inside, internally, mentally.
Can I say something? Why would y'all give the nut job the pistol in the beginning?
He took it.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't he? He took it.
You wouldn't let him have it. I mean, they kind of gave it to him. Like, go on and take it. Because the girlfriend gave Otis the gun, saying, you know, she ain't trust some certain people. No, we knew he was talking about Paul because he was so off the rails. And people change when money come around. And she was right. She was right. Because as soon as the money got there, everything got weird. And, you know, Paul, you know, claims the gun. And I'm like, y'all gave the dude who is most unraveled than everybody the gun. So he has the gun and he uses it. And he's pointing guns at people. He's accusing them of, you know, the flim-flam. And it's bad at this point. Paul has the gun, and that's the last person. Man, he ties the LAM people up, Tiff. Damn.
Yes, and then, like, forces them to, like, go with them to, like, they're trying to still get out to meet Ben to get picked up. But he doesn't want them. I'm kind of like, so there's a part where they're walking and they're not tied up, and then they're tied up again. I think it's like a continuity error in the film.
Well, this is what gets me, is that they help David. If it wasn't for them, they would not have saved David. And immediately,
right,
they turn on him and tie them up. David goes and lets the girl have a, you know, to use the bathroom, and the father thinks he's weak, you know, because he's falling for the stuff of the girl. And they're all victim to Paul's psychosis at this point. And that's why it's so weird.
Yes, except, and then one guy escapes. So after they let her go to the bathroom, I guess it loosened the rope and he ran away.
Yeah.
Sapo, the other guy. He's gone.
Now, in the interim where all this stuff is happening, I think one of the most important scenes happens in a flashback. I love the scene. I can't remember. I think her name was Lady Rose from Vietnam, that we used to do these broadcasts every night to, like, psychological warfare against the troops. And you know, she's like, hey, so brother, why do you fight for the white man? The white man enslaved you. The white man, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King was killed by white man, and mess them up, the old soldiers in the flashback, to the point that they were going to change, you know, disobey the orders of Storm and Norman. But Norman was such a powerful individual that he was able to hold his ground and get them back together, because they were ready to, like, go to the nearest base and shoot up everybody, you know, because of the death of Martin Luther King.
Right.
But I remember in history reading about this character, this lady on the radio, who just constantly, every day, just, you know, information. And most of the time it wasn't even misinformation. It was real information, you know, but working on the different troops. I mean, you got a minority army in there who you oppress. What do you think is going to happen? You know? So anyway. So they finally get to the rendezvous, Tiff. And there's Yang. He's ready to take everybody out of there. But those soldiers, you know, they come up there with the gold.
Yes.
Everything is, like, weird. But they're gonna roll. But then the soldiers show up from nowhere, and it gets ridiculous at this point. And I didn't know it was gonna spark off like this into this spectacular firefight like it did. But it was brutality, especially because they caught the one guy who had got away, and he takes off running again, and he sparks the whole thing with the kaflooey, and woo.
Yeah, so he hits another landmine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The mines are everywhere,
Tiff. Everything just goes crazy.
Everybody dies, Tiff, except for our heroes. Nobody from the heroes die, but one guy gets away.
David got shot in the leg.
Yes.
Also, no, Vin gets shot later. So, so at this point, Paul, like, leaves the group, right?
Paul loses his goddamn mind. And
yes, because he tries, because Otis is like, we should call Tien. And then Paul's like, she's working with that French guy. They said this is their fault, which he wasn't 100% wrong.
He was about 80% correct.
So he rips the saddle.
He destroys the phone. And Paul loses his fucking mind. And then he walks up
into the jungle with his gold.
You know, all I thought was Predator. I'm going to have me some fun. Long Saw Tally. She's Bill Sweet. Jake to Z. Everybody the old baby. You know, Mac. You know, I was like, oh, shit. He didn't turn into Mac all of a sudden. So he takes off. They go to the ruins where Yang is like, hey, we can
but
go there.
But before that, they all decide to share. So they share it with the guide. They share it with the two lamb people. They all get a share.
Right.
Of the gold.
As they should have. As reasonable men would at that point. Because everybody's risking their life at this point. And so the righteousness of the brothers, I really like that part of it. Because it was like, right, what are you going to do? What are you know, you going to kill them? You know, or are you going to like be honorable men? And they were honorable men, Tiff. This other guy just was lost his mind. So he goes stammering off into the jungle. He's having all kind of hallucinations and all kind of stuff going on.
And he gets bit by a snake.
He gets bit by like several snakes. That shit surprised the hell out of me. I didn't see that coming. And
then he lost his bag of gold.
He lost the gold. It was stuck in a tree. I thought it was so slick when he just was like, looked up at God and was like, you got it. This okay. That's the way it goes. He just walked away from it. And, you know, later he has that revelation.
The vision
of Storm and Norman, and we see why he's so screwed up more than the other ones, because he was caused to accidentally kill Norman, and it wasn't his fault, but he never said anything. He didn't tell anybody, and it was his fault, but it really wasn't his fault. It was his gun, but you know, it was a reflex. So he kills Norman.
Right.
And, you know, Norman forgives him. It was a powerful scene for me, Tiff. I'm sitting there like,
yes.
Damn it. God damn it. This is good. So we think he dead, but he's not. Next, you know, we see the next scene.
But then, like, he does die.
We thought he was probably knocked out, I imagine. Then the next thing you know, the soldiers had left. They came back in force like they said that he would. And they split up, and he had half the guys sitting there making him dig his own grave. And, Tiff, let me tell you something. I'm nobody's badass, but let me tell you, I'm not digging my grave. F you.
No.
Kiss my ass.
Just kill me. I mean, what are you going to do if I don't do it? You're going to kill me. Right. If I dig it, you're going to kill me. So I'm just kill me. I'm not doing that.
No. What? What? You put it in my mouth. Ah! Give it to me. I mean, I'm not doing it, man. And so, and they shoot him, and they get mad, and because he's talking shit the whole time, and they shoot him.
And they shoot him a lot.
Yeah, ridiculous. And so that happens, and you're like, what the? Oh, God, that was bad. So you want all these guys to die because they're bad guys, man. And then, Tiff, I didn't realize how bad they were until they showed up at the ruins with the professional.
The French guy?
The French guy.
DeRoach, I think, is his name.
Yes, they showed up with him. Paul was right. Paul was right, but they asked, was the girlfriend involved? And it was like, no, she don't have a stomach for this, so she don't know nothing about this. So she didn't double-cross them, but the piece of shit double-crosser was double-crossing the whole time, and Paul knew it the whole time. He just had a little bit wrong. So, wow. I think these cats picked the wrong fight with the wrong people. You know, a bunch of young guys with guns who have never been battle proven picked a fight with some seasoned soldier veterans, and it did not work out for them, Tough. Goodness gracious. What do you got?
No. So this scene is really crazy. A lot of stuff happens. The fight is, it's a good action scene. But also, like, so earlier in the movie, Melvin had said that he would never throw himself on a grenade to save anyone. But then they throw a grenade, and he does throw himself on it to save, because he knew he was going to be blown up anyway, and at least if he threw on himself on top of it, Otis could survive.
But Melvin took out, like, 19 people before he died, man, up on that tower.
Melvin's crazy.
Shit! He was lighting people up, and so was Eddie was acting a fool. Eddie was down there like the damn black ninja, just lighting people up. And they were good at what they do, Tiff. They didn't lose their touch. And even Otis even said it, like, this ain't our first time we've been in this country. You know, it's on. And with due respect, they showed several scenes where they were, like, showing themselves as superior soldiers. You know, like when the ambush happened in the tall grass and stuff like that. And so what? Otis gets shot. I think he's done. He gave the boy, David, a gun.
No, Otis survives.
Yeah, but he gets shot.
He does get shot, but he had given David a gun.
And David actually earns his medal and shoots our boy before, you know, the professional, before he dooms him, because he was about to kill him, shot him in the eye. So everybody's dead, man. And we have, I wasn't sure if Otis had survived. I didn't know if he was going to make it or not, because he was laying on the ground.
Otis, I think the only one, he's the only one that lives.
He's the only
Otis
one.
Otis is the only one of the Bloods.
But I wasn't sure, Tiff. I was like, you know, and Yin, he survives. He got shot, but it was through and through. And he makes it. And the French lady makes it. And, oh, the other guy makes it too. The other guy from, what's
Simon.
It? Simon, he makes it.
Lamb.
Right. From Lamb. And man, a lot of people died, Tiff. Wow. A lot of people died.
Yes. I'm
like,
crazy.
Wow. And so, but they get back to the world, man. And, you know, these are great scenes here, because.
Yes, this is like one of the best parts of the movie, even though obviously it's the end of the movie.
It's the end of the movie. I love when Otis goes and sees his daughter, you know, and without any hesitation. Father, I love you. I'm like, oh my God. Yes. You know, she knew. I mean, and so Otis, you know, he has a daughter now that he didn't know he had. And the brothers donate the money to Black Lives Matter, which surprised me. I was like, wow, Spike must have just made these changes right now. And so Black Lives Matter gets, what, a $2.250 million donation, and they do the right thing with the money. Nobody gets rich, Tiff. You know, they
Melvin's widow gets money.
Melvin's widow, right, and his son.
Yes.
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 And I thought that was nice. So that's pretty much the end of the movie, Tiff, you know, pretty much.
Yes, but we do have David reads a letter from, so we failed to mention that David had said that Paul, his father, didn't like him because David's mother died in childbirth.
Yeah.
And Paul, he thought Paul loved David. Paul loved his mom more than he loved David. But then at the end, we see these scenes of them, of the money going to good use and all this stuff, but overlaid over the top of that is all reading a letter to his son about how he loves him.
Yeah, which, because the shit he said to that boy, I don't know why that boy stuck with him. I mean, he told,
yeah, it was pretty,
several times he told him he hated him, and, you know, he should have never been born and stuff like that, and wished the mother would have lived. And you're like, God damn, dude, God damn, that's your son. But yeah, David's a school teacher at this point. Obviously older, and
no, he was always a school teacher.
Oh, really? Well, he had a beard and stuff, so at that point, a pretty long beard, you know. When
it's been some time,
it's been a little bit of time, you know. I don't know how fast my face over here don't grow that damn fast, so, at least a few months. And so, that's pretty much it, Tiff. And
that's it.
I was so impressed with this damn movie that came out of nowhere. I mean, literally nowhere. I think our viewers, our listeners would do themselves a favor by watching something. It's a pretty complex movie. It's not.
Yes.
It's a linear story, but, you know, the choice of having the flashbacks played by the older characters was a bold one. And at first I had a problem with it, but after a second or two, I no longer had a problem with it. I mean, I don't know. What about you?
No, it was, I thought that was interesting and it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah. And having old Chadwick Boseman playing a young Chadwick Boseman, but was actually old Chadwick Boseman with the
right.
Chadwick Boseman is old, y'all. He ain't young. Don't try to know. He's born in 1977. Shit. Oh shoot. So I think that's it, Jeff. I think we did it.
All right.
We did it. So that's it, man. We did the damn thing and we got it done. My name is Montego Bradley, host of Fans of Patrol Lockdown. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tipplebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tip.
It's been a midweek pleasure.
And we will be back this weekend with more goodness. I think I don't know what we're doing. What we're doing in the shadows, and we're doing Artemis Fowl, a Disney movie.
Yes.
Because it's free and it was supposed to go to the theater. So, haha. So we will be back. And until next week, until Sunday, we will be on patrol.